Welcome to a very special edition, the first edition of what I will be calling the Starving Artist Guide. It's going to be a podcast, and I am your host, your ever so humble host. My name is Johnny Sanford. I live in Brooklyn, New York, and I currently am a starving artist. So I will be giving out different pieces of advice for people who move to New York City and don't know what to do. A little information about myself. I moved to Brooklyn in the summer of 2007 in an effort to make it, quote-unquote, as a musician and writer in New York City. Now, I haven't actually done that yet. I haven't, quote-unquote, made it. But what I have done, I realized one day, is that I have the amazing ability to live on very, very little income, with very little help from my parents or any other source. I have a 3.5-hour job every day. I work with kids. That would be one of my first recommendations upon moving to the city, is sign up for a daycare. If you move in the summer, look for some kind of job as a instructor. I was an art instructor in Central Park. And what it did was it allowed me to stay young at heart and have a lot of time to myself to continue writing music. And right now I'm working on a blog. It's called starvingartistguide.com, where I'm going to dispense the same kind of information as well as get into the art scene. What I want to do is get people involved on a visceral level. What's the music scene that's coming up right now? In 2009. Let's see. Today is February the 2nd, 2009. So with that said, now that you know me a little bit, I'm gonna play a song. By a very important Brooklynite, Mr. Mos Def. And I'm gonna play a little cut off Black on Both Sides. So stick with me, and I will be right back. Starving Artist Guide out. Carry slave ships and fed them dead niggas. Now it's belly full and he about to flood something. So I'm throwing rope that ain't tied to nothing. Tell your crew use the H2 and Y's amounts. It's the new world water and every drop counts. You can laugh and take it as a joke if you wanna, but it don't rain a full week some summers. And it's about to get real wild in the half. You be buying every yard, you can take a fucking bath. Heads is acting wild, sipping rum, pumping dank, competing with the next man for higher playing rank. So now I ain't got time, try to be Big Hank. Fuck a bank, I need a 20-year water tank. Cause while these knuckleheads is out here sweating their guts, the sun is sitting in the treetops, burning the woods. And as the flame from the blaze get higher and higher, they say, don't drink the water, we need it for the fire. New York is drinking it, new world. And all of California is drinking it, new world. Where you're golfing down south is drinking it, new world. Used to have minerals and zinc in it, new world. Now they say it got lead and stink in it, new world. Fluorocarbons and monoxide.
push the water table lopsided. Used to be free, now of course you a fee. Cause all tanks fill their notice, they roll across the sea. Man, you gotta cook with it, baby, clean with it.
That's right.
When it's hot summertime, you fiend for it.
No.
You gotta put it in the iron, you steaming with.
That's right.
It's what they dress wounds and treat diseases
Shout
with. The rich and poor, black and white got need for
That's
it.
Right.
And everybody in the world can agree with
Let
this.
Know.
Consumption promotes health and easiness.
That's
Go
right.
too long without it on this earth and you leaving
Shout it. Out.
Americans wasting it on some leisure shit.
Word.
Another nation be desperately seeking
Let
it.
Know.
Bacteria washing up on their beaches.
Say word.
Don't drink the water so they can't wash their feet with
Let
it.
Know.
Young babies in perpetual needy
Say
dish.
Word.
Epidemics hopping up off the petri
Let
dish.
Know.
Control center shot to play all secret
Say
at.
Word.
To avoid public panic and freaking.
Let
there are
know.
Places where TB is common as TD. Cause foreign based companies go and get greedy. The type of cats who pollute the whole shoreline have it purified and sell it for $1.25. Now the world is drinking that.
New
Your mom's
water.
Wife and baby girl is drinking that.
New world.
Up north and down south is drinking that.
New world.
You just
water.
Have to go to your sink for it.
New
the
world.
Cash register is going to chink for
world.
It.
New world.
Carbon's a monoxide. Got the fish looking cockeyed. Used to be free, now of course you a fee. Cause it's all about getting that cash.
Money.
Then 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 it's all about getting your cash.
Money.
Then it's all about getting that cash.
Money.
Then it's all about getting that cash.
Money.
Then it's all about getting that cash.
Money.
All right, we're back on the maiden voyage of the Starving Artist Guide podcast. That was Mos Def and his cutoff, 1999's Black on Both Sides, New World Water. Great track. When I worked at Barnes & Noble in Union Square, just on a side note, I did get to meet Mr. Mos Def. His real name is Tyrell Smith. Very nice person, very nice. So let's go back to business here. Being as this is my first podcast, I'm going to go over an essay here that I wrote a few months back when I first came up with this idea. The idea came, just as a preamble to this, the idea came last year. I was suffering from about a writer's block and basically couldn't get anything done. I realized, you know, every aspect of my artistic life was failing and I was fed up. I realized I had to have been doing something right. And what I realized is that in a very zen-like way, my life had become my art. Because I kept getting these, just random pieces of information from people, from person to person, they would end up in my lap and I realized, oh, that's a great way to save money. That's a great way to get around this expensive city, and still have a great time without having to, spend a lot of money. Essay I did, this originally is a book idea, and it's spread out and into a podcast of all things. I had no idea I'd be doing this, but it just seemed like the right thing to do at the right time. First, it started with the blog. I realized that, you know, this information needs to get out because right now our country's in, it's going down the tubes. But I know that so many artists are going to still be making that maiden voyage, you know, to New York City. And they're going to need help. Because when I got here, I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't have any friend. I came with one friend. And the closest friend to me lived in Long Island. And she's a kind of a flake. But I'm not going to get into that. So I'm going to get into this. It's a long diatribe, essentially, about how to get off the couch and get going, basically. My first piece of advice is, don't quit your day job. Because that's what's going to pay your bills. But when it comes to doing what you do, remember that you got to put some food on the table. However, and it's a big however, don't ever give up on what you want to do. I've been at this for God knows how long. I mean, I've been a musician since I was 15. I'm 24, so almost 10 years. I'm not going to pretend to be the end-all, be-all expert in art. I can't tell you a date or name of, you know, jazz musicians or, you know, postmodern theory and literature. To me, you know, a piece of art stands out on its own merit. I don't need to hear about what school they are in, all these stupid things. Basically, what I know about art is that it's the soul's search for some kind of tangible truth that is subjective, but, you know, people like Van Gogh, it's become fairly objective. It takes time to get that. You know, no one's ever going to be non-critical of a certain thing. You know, there's always critics. The greatest gift we've been given is the ability to understand the present moment. We go through time and space, free from the past and the future, like any other animal, connecting each moment with being. And this is where I kind of get a little metaphysical in some way. Early in the development of human nature, we realize the potential beauty and truth in creation. I mean, you can go back to the caves in France where, you know, a caveman has drawn a buffalo. I mean, he didn't have to. He just decided it was a beautiful thing and it was his ode to life. Creating something from nothing for the sake of others' enjoyment is an attempt to breach into the divine, I believe, and an attempt to understand the idea of perfection. Not necessarily to actually know what it is, but to understand the idea. One of these wonderful, beautiful gifts we've been given is the female form. And we've drawn it ever since, I don't know, charcoal existed. We've taken blood to wall, stick to sand, fist to clay, brush to canvas, pen to paper, finger to string, trying to play out our part in a cosmic symphony. It's pretty beautiful. Here's where I say in this essay, human beings did not fall from the kingdom of heaven. We're in the midst of building it for ourselves. And in this search for beauty, the artistic endeavor in which the artist takes, in which we realize our own collective godhood. And I believe that. I mean, I'll stand by those words, even though I wrote them over a year ago now. And like I said, I mean, I came here last year. I came without friends, had about $2,000 in my bank account. That's the first thing I will recommend to any artist that plans on moving to the city is have a big nest egg. I mean, it doesn't sound big, but it is for people that are our age. But have a nest egg. I mean, you're going to need it. And thankfully, I saw that coming from a mile away. Because I didn't have a job for an entire month. I was existing on that $2,000 nest egg. You know, and you're going to come here and you're going to be so naive thinking that you're going to be productive. You're going to be, you know, you're going to play a couple open mics and then there's going to be a guy in the audience that's, oh, he's a big A&R guy, so-and-so. Guess what? It doesn't happen like that. It doesn't happen like that at all. You're going to put in your time if you want anyone to recognize anything you've done. The But that's also what makes it a beautiful and endearing adventure, a journey. You know, I don't know if I was reading it. I think I read it yesterday. The idea that, you know, we work for things and we want to work for things. And God doesn't just give it to us because he knows that we wouldn't appreciate it. We have to work for it. Let's see what else here. Hold on. I'm trying to read this and talk it at the same time. Basically what happened was I got here and I froze up. And you might find that you do the same thing as I did. Because when you're put in, it's like a fish being transferred from the ocean into, or from a 10-gallon tank into the ocean. You know, even if this fish has been planning it for its entire life, it's going to get in the ocean, little Nemo, and he's going to have no idea what to do. And that's what I found myself. I didn't go out. I was stuck inside my house. That was the familiar zone. And you'll probably find the same thing if you move here without friends. I guess that's just part of it. You got to get adjusted. Also, so many people in New York City have the same dream that you do. So if you're not out there promoting yourself, if you're not out there busting your ass, you know, playing shows, getting contacts, promoting yourself, getting your CD out, you're going to sit and think, you know, feel self-pity when in reality, you know, you just need a good kick in the ass. And that's, I guess, what I'm here to do for you. I've taken that role on, I guess. And it was only after a couple of shows. I went to a couple shows, played some open mics, and I didn't get the response that I had thought that I would have. And, you know, this can apply to anyone. If you're an art, if you do just painting and you try to get a gallery and they don't want your shit, it's gonna happen. And you have to be ready for that. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck. And the creativity will dry up to the bone. So I stopped playing. I stopped playing gigs. And I lost faith in myself. You know? To see other artists who have worked so hard. And, you know, they haven't done anything, or maybe they get a bigger crowd than you, or, you know, it's even sadder when you talk to someone who's been at it for 5 years, 10 years, and, you know, they're playing an open mic night. And you also have to realize, like, there's always going to be someone better than you. I mean, but here's the thing. I mean, someone could go to school for 10 years to be an artist or to be a musician or whatever, learn every single aspect of what you do. But, you know, maybe you have like a song that you wrote and it's got 3 chords. You know, they could play that song, but it's not you. They're not you. So you have to take that into account. You have to realize that you are you, and it's a beautiful thing. What you have, I mean, especially if you're deciding to move all the way from, you know, Kalamazoo, Michigan to New York City to try to do it. Not many people do that. I would say 1% of the population have the balls to drop, you know, their video store shirt and say, you know what, I'm gonna go down to New York City, you know, or LA or Chicago if you're an actor, and I'm gonna really go at it. That takes courage, and no one can tell you otherwise. I mean, there'll be artists in, you know, a play in your hometown, you know, that maybe you come back for your 5-year anniversary, and they sneer at you because, oh, you know, I haven't seen you on Broadway yet, huh? How come you're not on Broadway? You know, you can just say to them, dude, at least I gave it a shot, or at least I'm down there, man. You work, you know, as a substitute teacher in East Bum Bleep, doing, you know, theater for 5-year-olds. You know, I'm at least down there trying. So, always remember that no one can take that away from you. No one can take away what you have, what your gift is. And that's a beautiful thing. But at the same time, you wouldn't take a dull sword into battle, would you? You have to take whatever you do and you have to hone it. You have to take it and you have to practice it for 5 hours a day. You know, you have to make it so that if you ever do get in that position where you're playing a show and there is a guy and you might not even see him, but maybe he's in the corner in the way back, you have to make that guy stop swirling his drink and come up to you and say, wow, I really dug your stuff, you know. And I wouldn't normally say that, but I wouldn't really normally come up to you. But, you know, I work for so-and-so. And here's my card. I know it's probably not going to be that easy, but, you know, stranger things have happened, you know. So, let's take a break. Let's put on a song. I'm going to surprise you, all right? Check it out. This is Johnny. You are on the Starving Artist Guide podcast. Starving Artist Guide to New York City, as it were. You can check out my blog at starvingartistguide.com. That's artists with an S. Otherwise, you're going to go somewhere I have no idea. Okay. So let's get back to the situation. So, at the point where I was last year, I had gotten a job as a bookseller at Barnes & Noble. This was before my job as an art instructor. And bookselling is great. I have a great knowledge of the authors that are contemporary right now. And it was fun. A lot of politics, you know. It was the biggest Barnes & Noble in the world at 14th Street Union Square, if you ever get in there. That's a great store. And it was a great job, but it was just getting really boring. And basically it didn't pay my bills. I was only making $200 a week, which at the time I thought was not that much. Now I'm living on about $250 a week. Or no, $250 every 2 weeks. It's pretty bare bones what I'm getting by on here. So you have to give that some props. I don't know many people who can do that. I work 3.5 hours a day. It's a wonderful job. I'm looking for new employment, but for right now, it's paying my bills. And, you know, it basically just entails cutting off all the extraneous things that you think that, oh, well, you know, $50 at the grocery store isn't that much. But for me, I get by on $25 a week at the grocery store, and I do not buy food out. Very rarely do I do. Sometimes I'll go get Chinese food or whatever if I'm feeling like it. Yeah, but I'm not someone that goes out every day. I used to be. I used to get lunch, you know, $5 a day, you know, and that's not that much. People will spend $10 a day on their lunch. I was spending $5 a day, but if you spend $5 a day, 5 days a week, that's $25 gone. And that's not even your grocery bill. I'm living on $25 a week without getting lunch. Basically, anytime I go to the grocery store, I will get the following items. I'll get eggs. And, you know, that's once a week, not even once a week. Eggs, cheese, a loaf of bread, and I'm really, there's not that much left. I mean, the beans, they're 50 cents a can. Corn, sometimes I spring for bacon, though I'm trying to, you know, not do that anymore because it's kind of gross. It's just a gross meat, but I'll get it, you know, once every 2 weeks, once every 3 weeks. And I mean, maybe some waffles. So there's more than that, but you know, I really like nachos, so I'll get nachos and, you know, some refried beans. And you know, I'm pretty healthy. I've lost, since I moved to the city, I've lost about 20 pounds. So not only is being a starving artist build you as a character, it builds your character, it also, you know, allows you to lose the beer fat from college. You know. So anyways, I was getting very bored with my job. Even though, I mean, here's one thing that it did have. It had full medical and dental health care for $15 a week. And I got 2 weeks paid time off, I think it ended up being. And it was a flexible schedule. I only had to work 4 days a week. 8 hours a day from 2 to 10 p.m. One downside was that I did have to go in on Sundays. You always, if you're going to work at a store that's a retail store, you will probably have to work one of the days of the week end, which kind of blows. Anyways, I also, you know, I didn't have a car. I don't have a car. Take the subway in to Manhattan. And it's, you know, you get an $80 pass during the, and that's good for a month. And it's unlimited. So you can go in and hang out with your friends at any given time without having to deal with driving, being drunk and driving, which I would never do. There is a downside. Everything has a flip side. The downside of the subway is, you know, during the day, it'll be on a perfect schedule. But after about 11 o'clock, everything switches to the local tracks. So if you live 40 minutes away from the center of Manhattan, or, you know, where you actually want to hang out, if you get in and at like 7, you're fine, like on a Friday night. But when you're trying to get back, it's going to switch on the local track. It's going to turn a 40-minute trip, 35-40-minute trip into an hour. So keep that in mind. So I wanted this. It was a part-time job as a Barnes & Noble book seller. And I didn't feel like I was forsaking anything, but I was also, my creativity had completely dried up. So I needed a change. And I ended up working for Obama for a total of 3 days. It was a horrible job. I had to stand out, you know, in very visible areas of New York and solicit people for money for the Democratic National Committee. I would not recommend that job. However, if you are in a bind, it is completely legit work, and so long as you can basically hypnotize someone within like 30 seconds to a minute to give you a donation for the Democratic National Committee, or they also have them for what else? There's like environmental funds, and what's the one? Greenpeace does it a lot, and these are really good in the summer. I did it during the summer, and I didn't manage to get a little tan within the 3 days, because you're out all day on your feet. And it is kind of exhilarating when you do get someone to give you money on the spot. However, it's not a long-term job by any stretch of the imagination. And as nice as it was to help Obama's campaign, you know, he hasn't even given me a call. He hasn't even told me thank you. So, essentially, you know, I've been going through these jobs, low-paying jobs, and have a college degree. And, you know, I started picking up these tips and tricks that I learned to live in comfort while dedicating the least amount of time or energy to paying for rent, food, everything else, you know, or an actual job that requires my full attention during the day. So, I guess my aim is to pass these tricks and tips to a wider audience of people who, despite the fact that the economy has gone down the toilet, still have the energy and drive to take their liberal arts degrees. Or, you know, no degree at all if you have cajones. And bringing them to New York City and making the world a more beautiful place because of it. I think that the artist is one of the most underrated but most necessary components to society at this current moment. And at in general, I mean, for the past 2,000 years, 10,000 years, you know, these are the people who bring you movies. These are the people who allow 99% of the community at large to not kill themselves every day because they have to type on a computer and stare at a blank screen and, you know, enter data, you know, for some heartless corporation that is dancing on the backs of the meagerly paid, you know. As an artist, you're either going to do one of two things. You'll die in a gutter, or you'll die a rich, rich, rich person. That's the world we live in. Either way, you'll either be very underrated or very overrated. So keep that in mind. So, there are sacrifices involved, as I've mentioned. But there are also, you know, very exciting things that you can do. Like, go to free open bars. You know, never have to worry about your car breaking down. And, you know, you still get to go clothing shopping and, you know, go to, not Walmart. There is no Walmarts in New York City, but you'll still be able to get to go do your consumerist, you know, things. But you'll do it in a very different way. You'll go down and, you go to thrift stores and go to flea markets. And that's where the real humanity lies anyways. I mean, who really wants, you know, something so uninteresting as, you know, something that hasn't had a history? That's the beauty of going to a flea market. The other day, I went to a Goodwill the other day, and I found the most beautiful piece of art, and it's by this guy, Poblowski. John Poblowski from 1978. Original etchings. Six etchings matted beautifully for $25. And frankly, I couldn't say no. It told my entire story. The first etching is of a guy playing a flute to a bunch of cows. And I grew up on a farm in upstate New York. The second etching is the flute player, the flautist, if you will, leaving his home with a tear going down his cheek as the community is, the bunch of houses has all the residents, all his neighbors and family stand on their doorsteps. And then the third is the wooing. Well, I'll just call it the wooing. I don't know its exact title, but, you know, and it's me trying to woo all the ladies out there who may or may not be listening to this. And then the fourth is a big party. And the fifth is just being, tis two old people. And in every single one there, the flautist has his flute. Or I guess it's more of like a horn, but neither horn here nor there. It's a musical instrument, and that's why I came down to the city, because I love making music, and there's nothing that I would want more in life than to make music and make money making music. So, if you come down here, I strongly recommend a job that will pay you minimum wage, and that will keep you, you know, from accepting your fate in the rat race. And also remember that no one's ever made meaningful art without going through struggle. you know. Van Gogh cut off his ear. You know, every artist struggles. And just as, like, a rose will grow out of a pile of shit, the artist grows out of the struggle. So don't pretend, don't try to fool yourself into thinking, oh, I'm gonna make so much money being an artist, because my shit is so much better than everyone else's, you know? Here's a funny one. Even the winner of American Idol had to stand in line for a couple days. And as much as I hate that show, and I think it literally is the bane of music's existence at the moment, it's killing actual music. Getting out of the parents' basement and setting up an actual plan to moving to New York City is the first step to realizing your dream. You have to actively pursue it. I've already gone over this, but you don't ever go into battle with a sword that isn't sharp. And you don't get a sharp sword by sitting and watching television. So, let's cut it right there, and the next segment will be the final segment for this episode of the Starving Artist Guide podcast. I'm gonna play a little Andrew Bird, Sauvé. All right, I'll see you on the other side of the song.
Now I was getting ready to be a threat. I was getting set for my accidental suicide, the kind where no one dies, no one looks too surprised. And then you realize you're riding on the power of success with this heavy-handed metaphor. And I feel like you've been here before, cause you've been here before, and you've been here before. Then a word washed ashore, then a word washed ashore, then a word washed. All those Don Quixotes and the B-17s. And I swear this time, yeah, this time, it blows back to the 70s. And it's time I'm playing Ride of the Valkyries with no semblance of grace here. And they're acting on vagaries with the violent proclivities. And they're playing Ride, playing right, playing right, right, right. Thinking about my plan of attack, think I'm gonna sack the whole board of trustees, all those Don Quixotes and the B-17s, and I swear this time it blows back to the 70s. And this time you're playing right at the Valkyries with no semblance of gracery. Now they're acting on vagaries with their violent proclivities, and they're playing right.
Alrighty. We are back for the final segment of the Starving Artist Guide podcast. And I don't really have too much more to say, so I'm going to try to keep it pretty short. This podcast, this website, and hopefully eventually this book will be for people who believe in themselves. They know in their heart that they have something inscrutable and unique that they need to tell people. They need to show people. And Pablo Picasso is a great example. He didn't just do, you know, painting. He went through everything. He did sculpture, you know, everything, every possible area of art, he was in it. And, you know, in Kurt Vonnegut's final book, A Man Without a Country, he relays a story about one of his friends. And he asks his friend, "What do you think about Picasso?" And this guy says, "Picasso? Picasso was God's way of showing someone who was truly rich." And I like that. I think it's true. But everyone has a little bit of Picasso in them. You know, it could be a computer analyst who, you know, sings opera, or a mom who, well, moms in general just have, they put beauty in everything they do. I mean, they'll clean the floor and it'll just be artistic. It's so true. And it's getting late. It's 2:15 in the morning, and I've been doing this because I thought it was a good idea, and I'm going to keep doing it for people like you, whoever you are. But remember that you are special. And that's what I'm saying here. And you haven't found me by accident. It's all on purpose. You deserve to hear me right now. It's a synchronicity. And remember that as an artist, you know, sometimes you might doubt yourself and say, I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. I'm not going to do this, do that. Just remember that you're going to lead a much, much more interesting and much, much more fulfilling life than instead of a corporate shill who goes to bed with a ghost images of spreadsheets in his head. So you got to follow your heart. Don't follow your wallet. It will lead you in the wrong direction. I promise you that. That's all I have to say, pretty much. Other than that, keep in there. Keep on keeping on. The next one I'm gonna do is gonna be dedicated to creative blocks. You know, writer's block. Man, how to get rid of it. Some of the ideas that I've used and that have worked. Like I was saying, I went through a bout of writer's block. And I got through it. I mean, in the last 2 days alone, I've recorded three new songs. And it's a beautiful thing when you have the juices flowing. So, with that, I am going to leave you. Here is Fleet Foxes with Mykonos. And please, feel free to listen again next week for the second episode of The Starving Artist's Guide to New York City. Thanks again.